Okay, so I just wanted to set the scene really for the next season. September seems to be that time where we regather. Feels like everything starts in September. It seems really busy every year we go. It's a crazy month. Anyway, we've been doing our Identity in Christ series and thinking about what comes next. And every time, particularly Fiona and I, have thought, okay, well, what is God saying next? We've really struggled to move away from this. We felt like God say, okay, we need to take our car as a church, park it on this subject and just wait and let God do what he needs to do. And we just kept being drawn back to it. And it's one of those things that when you go to conferences or social media or have even conversations, little things, it seems to keep coming up. Now, it may be because it was in the forefront of our minds, but it just felt like God was saying, okay, I'm not done with this yet. And as we move on to other things, I think it's really important we keep the thread of our identity, remembering all that God's done already and continues to do. We keep coming back to this thing of Jesus and our identity being at the hub of our Christian walk. You may remember this picture. So the one on the left is a hub of a wheel, which is slightly off-centre, which Fiona shared with us, compared to a standard bicycle wheel, which has got the hub in the middle. Obviously, the wheel doesn't go round as smoothly, and it jumps up and down. It's a bit of a weird system. So I was thinking, okay, well, if Jesus is at the hub, if our identity is at the hub, what are the spokes coming out? Google is wonderful. If you type in Jesus at the hub, or something like that, you get some wonderful pictures. So this diagram here has been used and adopted by different ministries, and this phrase, back to basics, it's one of those phrases that kept coming back to us from different avenues, and just feeling like, okay, if we have got our identity sorted, we know that Jesus has died for us. He's been raised again. Our identity as sons and daughters, as co-heirs of Christ, that's sorted, it's done. Now, how do we move on from that? I'm trying to think of those spokes that come out from the centre, our identity in Christ. So four things which I felt God had already said already, and then I came up with this diagram. So it's nice when God speaks and confirms things. And it's not an exhaustive list, but as we move forward, holding on to this identity, how do we then walk into what God has for us in our walk of faith, walk as Christians, as a church? So four basics, the word. I love God's word. I just kept saying thank you to God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word this morning. It's life. It's God-breathed. It's God-inspired. It's life to us. Just really feeling that this morning as we were praying out those psalms. It was good, wasn't it, to hear that. The word, prayer, fellowship, evangelism, witnessing, mission, those four foundational things. So we'll be trying to incorporate that into our next season, trying to hold on to our identity. Yes, we've got that sorted, but what does that mean? So that's just a little bit of a snapshot into hopefully where we're going ahead. What I want to speak to you about this morning is running. It's going to be a simple message, I hope. You probably hope that as well. And some of you may know I've done more running. I used to do a bit of running when I was a youngster. I realised that I was just doing no exercise at all, really, other than running after the children. I used to play football once a week, but that wasn't working out just of when it was, and just really needed to keep fit and healthy. So I started running, and I do a route round the place where I live, and really wanted to run, felt like I was doing okay, and I had an injury. So after about a mile, I got this shooting pain inside of my knee, and it was frustrating. And I do the same route, and at the same point, I've got headphones on, so it tells you how far you are, and almost dead on a mile every time I get this excruciating pain. It's called IT band syndrome. Some of you runners might have heard of it. Anyway, so I realised what it was, started doing exercises. For weeks I did this, for exercises, trying to get rid of it. And it wouldn't go away. And then one day, I got to the same point again on my run, doing okay, thinking it's going to come on, it's going to come on. And it didn't. And this sense of, I so wanted to run and carry on running and do well and improve and better my time. I'm quite competitive with myself, by the way. And it didn't hurt, it didn't happen. And it was, there was this wave, and I can only describe it as a wave of joy, going, oh, thank goodness. And I ran freer. I ran with a new sense of, this is great. And I just felt it was a bit of a God moment. Does God want us to run injured? Does God want us to run with pain and hurts and slow us down? Does he want us to stop our race? Does he want us to give up? And I know that God is sovereign, and there's things that we have to run with, injuries and weaknesses where God can be strong. But actually, there are some things, hindrances the Bible talks about. Are there hindrances in our lives that stop us from running that God wants to deal with? Are there injuries where we've just said, actually, that we're injured, that's never going to change, and we've settled for the status quo, as it were? We're not going to change that relationship, that situation, that circumstance isn't going to change. So I'm going to learn to live with running with a limp, running with something that I don't think God's going to ever resolve. Perhaps we feel sidelined or overlooked. So I want to just run through, excuse the pun, just a few things. What is our race? The type of race, the hindrances and sin, the circumstances. And then just to check, are we running well? And I want to keep reminding ourselves, and remind yourselves of our identity in Christ is sorted, and all that we've been sharing about as we go through this morning. I need to keep an eye on time. I'm about 20 minutes behind already, you'll be pleased to know. Anyone got anything nice for dinner in the oven? We've got a barbecue. There's a barbecue going on. That's good. What is our race? And I don't probably need to remind you, but Paul uses a lot of language to do with running the race, athleticism, those kind of metaphors and pictures. So I just want to just remind you again that thinking, how can I talk on running? That's just me. But I thought, well, no, Paul says it, so it must be all right, and it's in the Bible. So, Galatians, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Corinthians, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. A perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. There should be another word there, shouldn't there, probably? Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I disciple my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And this is probably one of the more famous ones that we read together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. What is the race? It's the race of the Christian life. It's the race of faith. It's not your normal race. It's not a works-based race. We don't have to achieve anything in the race, because God's done it through his grace already. Our identity is sorted. We've talked about that already. Our standing is right with God. The deal is done and secure. But, there's that word but. But's a good word in the Bible, isn't it? You know what's coming. God doesn't want us to stay there, but wants us to grow and mature, and also to be how we were originally designed to be. Selwyn Hughes says, only in Christ can we live life that God intended for us. He is at work in us to restore the divine design. God wants us to move on. Maturity isn't part of our salvation. 2 Corinthians says, this is from the New Living Translation, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image to become more Christ-like. And running a race takes effort. There's at least 8 times in the New Testament where it talks about make every effort. It's not a passive thing. Do we remember Richard Burgess talking about us taking ownership of our maturity? It takes effort. And we're not like a fine wine where we sit and we go, Lord, mature me. Or like a cheese. There's an active process. We've got to do our bit. The race isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. What's the prize? Timothy talks about a crown of righteousness. Peter talks about a crown. Sorry, that's not Timothy talking, it's Paul. In the letter to Timothy, crown of righteousness, crown of glory, and then James in Revelation, crown of life. What type of race is it? We heard, well, I didn't hear because I wasn't here, but I heard this is one of the verses that you focused on last Sunday at the bridge. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And this isn't a physical race per se, because God is looking at the heart. And we talked about in our Connect group about our hearts and guarding our hearts. Corinthians talks about be on our guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. What happens outwardly in our lives is not as important as what happens inside us. God looks at the heart. Proverbs, we looked at this in our Connect group following Sunday. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Thinking, why does God want us to guard our hearts? Because it's the core of our being. And there's something, we will get new bodies and in new heaven and earth we are transformed, but we are recognized. So there's something that remains that we would recognize ourselves later, and wondering with this, the heart God is so interested in. Ecclesiastes talks about he has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. That's so profound, isn't it? Setting eternity in our hearts. Is that why we always thirst for something bigger? Is that why we're never quite satisfied for what's going on in earth? Maybe it's because we're not of this world. We're aliens. We belong in heaven. We belong as citizens of heaven. God is most interested in our hearts, on our race. There's a picture up there. They're hair bands. Samantha insists quite a strong word, on wearing a hairband around her wrist. Now, in the summer, she wants to get a tan line. I don't know if it's a fashion thing. I don't know why. Anyway, it starts to cut in, and sometimes gets a bit sore, and actually, it can be quite dangerous. But actually, she forgets it's there. And I just felt like God was saying, what have we put on ourselves? What have we decided to keep on ourselves, in our spirits, our emotions, which we just get used to and we settle for? And that hairband goes on, and then we forget about it because it's just there. It just feels tight, and then it doesn't feel like it's tight anymore. But actually, it is doing damage. What might be the things that are a hairband for you that you've left on your wrist that you've just accepted? Perhaps it's an injury. You've been injured by somebody. Perhaps you're carrying an offence. Fiona Stanton shared on comparison. Perhaps it's about comparison. And this race that we're on, it's not a race to try and beat the next person. In fact, it's the opposite. It's running the race. We've all got different races to run, but actually it's supporting one another, standing alongside one another, running with one another. And in our sharing over the summer, it was really special to hear people basically explaining what some of their hairbands were on their wrists, those things that are taken on through circumstances, through situations, through pain. We had Philip and Amanda, Julie, we had Michael, Kath Lawrence, Chris and Becky sharing quite vulnerably about where they were at. And that I love that about church. I love it when that happens. There's something that happens in our spirits. God opens up something when we are vulnerable, particularly from the front. That takes a lot, doesn't it? And I just want to say, do it. God does something when we are vulnerable. We open ourselves up to one another. It's hard sometimes, but it's the way if we help one another and we share in our experiences as we run our faith journey. And this isn't like a self-help group that you could go to in your local town or whatever. But this is about Jesus who's died, been resurrected, and therefore given us life. And it's this is why church is different. We've got Jesus in it. Number four, circumstances. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand." Stand your ground, and after everything, after you've done everything, to stand. Keep on praying despite the circumstances. Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And just one more verse on praying and standing firm in our circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This is a verse which we often pull up in circumstances, and just want to read this. And I missed a key message, which was a good time at Transform. A guy called Malcolm Duncan from Gold Hill Baptist Church was sharing, who's carrying something of God's heart, I believe. And I know this was a powerful evening for some on that night. And I just wanted to touch on it again today. And I'm not going to be ashamed of stealing what he said. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory." I read that psalm this morning, Psalm 13, because life is tough. And there's a whole section of psalms that are lament psalms, where things aren't always going right. Life is tough. The race is tough. And I'm not going to look around the room, because I'll start crying, because there are people whose life is tough and the race is tough. Either now or has been for weeks, months, years. But the rewards are amazing. And my prayer is that God will help us to see from more of an eternal perspective. It's a challenge, isn't it? Malcolm Duncan pulled out 3 points from these verses. The bad can be used for good. The good cannot be taken away. And the best is yet to come. Derek and Jan, are you here this morning? They're not, are they? For Derek and Jan, the bad can be used for good. The good cannot be taken away. And the best is yet to come. for other situations here, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to look around the room and say the bad can be used for good. This is God's word. The good cannot be taken away, and the best is yet to come. Our circumstances won't overthrow our hope. There's an assurance that what God has started in you cannot be taken away. Jesus has come so we might have life. And it's good to declare this verse. And sometimes we say to people when there are situations, oh, but God works for the good of those who love him. Yes, but actually, people are also in pain, hurting, struggling. And it's okay to shout your whys to God, to say why, and to be angry. And our experiences and circumstances shouldn't change and affect our theology. And that's how we understand who God is. God doesn't change. Amanda reminded us so poignantly. She was asking questions like, don't you love me, Lord? Why are you holding out on me? Have you forgotten me? Are you really good? But then she was reminded that Jesus, the man, had to overcome so many things as being a man. Hebrews says, consider him, consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's okay to pour our hearts out to God. The joys and the pain, the anger and the frustration. Just look at all the Psalms. The bad can be used for good. The good cannot be taken away. The best is yet to come. Amen. Are we running well? I'm going to bring this into land now really quickly. There's two films there. Now, I'm sure you know what the one on one side is. Forrest Gump, who just kept running and running. I'm not going to do the impression. Does anybody know what the other film is? Was that a yes? No, it's not Billy Elliot. No, this is 50s, 60s. As far as my dad doesn't know. Yes! Love it. It is. The Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner. It's a catchy title. Nowadays, it will probably just be known as Lone Runner or something like that. So Forrest Gump, he was actually running away from his troubles. He wanted to forget what he was doing. But the reason I put him up is that he kept running. He kept running. He ran for years, I think. I don't think it's a true story. But he kept running. He kept going. The other guy in the picture, the story is of a guy who ends up being involved in a armed robbery or something like that. He has a minor involvement. He gets sent to prison. He's a runner. The prison warden, they have an athletics competition amongst prisons or in the community. So this guy's a runner. They start training all the runners to compete in these competitions. And they're allowed out to run outside the grounds of the prison, but they're either handcuffed or they're closely watched, so they're very limited. And then one day, the warden comes in and says, okay, Smith. And he opens the prison gate, and he says, we're going to trust you. And he runs, and he's got full permission to run the same course with no escort. He just runs out into the woods, and there's no one with him. And I'd like to play the clip, but it's too long. But actually, he just goes a bit crazy because he realizes the sense of freedom that he has. And for that moment, he is free. And I put up those pictures, and it's just an encouragement, really, this morning. I want you to go out feeling encouraged this morning to run as free as you can. To run with joy because of what God's done. And also run knowing that you're in a community of runners, the church, this morning. And I'm going to finish this morning, and perhaps you may want to close your eyes. I'm going to read something from Romans 12. And perhaps there's lots of passages that might help us indicate how well we're running. But this might be just one example of it. So maybe just use this as a time to reflect on how you're running. How are we doing in our race? Are we running well? Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. And weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honourable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Help us run free. Help us run true. Help us to not let the past hold us back from running, Lord. Father, where we are carrying something because you're teaching us something, give us the grace, give us the perseverance to fix our eyes on you. Help us to remember that the bad can be used for good. The good cannot be taken away. And Lord, we say thank you that our hope is in you. The best is yet to come. Amen.